Romans, we're in chapter 10, and we begin to see Paul begin to open up some more thoughts about this idea of relationship with Jesus versus religion. And I want to venture out to say there are many people sitting in the church pews today that have religion but have skipped over relationship with Christ through faith. Sad, because with almost 900 members in First Baptist Church today, I won't see that many. Matter of fact, I'll probably see less than half of that today. So I'm thinking, who's saved and who's not? In my own church, there was this lady, elderly lady. Listen, she worked diligently in her church. Man, she worked in the nursery. She worked with the children. She was always willing to help in the kitchen area. She would come in and clean, after the cleaning janitor has come through and cleaned. And she would just do all sorts of things to help out. And boy, she just wanted to devote herself to her church and work as much as she could. She was married to an ornery old cuss, though. He didn't have time for church. He didn't have time for all that religious mess and stuff. Matter of fact, he liked for her to go to church on Sunday morning so he could go fishing. She wouldn't bother him. He liked to go hunting on Sunday morning so she wouldn't bother him. Matter of fact, he would say, I'm going to baptize a few worms while you go get your religious fix for the week. He didn't mind going to the bar room and hanging out with the folks there and swapping off-color jokes making a few friendly wagers on games and stuff of that nature. Man, just lived a life that was to himself and for himself. But boy, he was mean to her. Well, one day he was not feeling so well. Finally got bad enough to where he went to the doctor. Doctor ran a battery of tests on him, and doctor returned to give him the news that no one wants to ever hear. He says, you have stage 4 cancer, and there's nothing we can do about it. If you would have came a year ago, we could have prevented the progression that it's there. But now it's out of our hands. This man who had nothing to do with God was devastated. He went home and they arranged hospice care for him. One day the chaplain came by for hospice. Sit down and visit with him and talk with him. And there again another week later, the hospice chaplain came by and talked with him. And he actually liked this chaplain, so he was more open to what he had to say. The chaplain saw the opportunity, and he shared Jesus Christ with this man. He left him the book of John, and this man was in a desperate situation, so he began to devour reading the Gospel of John. And he accepted Christ as his Savior. Well, it wasn't long the man passed away. And he was ushered by the angels to the feet of Jesus in heaven. His wife continued to do work at her church. And if you were to ask this lady, what makes you think you're going to heaven? She would tell you proudly, I'm a good person. I do a lot of good things in my church. I do a lot of good things for others. And if you ask people in the community, is she a good person? She would say yes. They would say yes, she's a good person. Sweet little old lady. You ask her, why would you go to heaven? She says, because I'm a good person and I do good works. You see, that's the wrong answer. She never said, because of Jesus Christ, because of what Christ has done for me, and I put my faith in him, I trust in him. See, she trusted herself and all of her good works. It wasn't long. Several years later, she passed away. And she saw Jesus, and he said, depart from me, for I never knew you. Oh, what a tragedy. One looked on the outside like a believer. Because she did all the religious things. She went to church and she helped here and she helped there. But she skipped faith in Christ. She never put her faith in Jesus. And here one old ornery cuss lived for himself for years and years and years. And there at the end of his life, he gave himself to Christ. She goes to hell. He goes to heaven. See, that's the difference between relationship and religion. There are a lot of people who are playing religion, and they have a rude awakening coming when they stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and he says, depart from me, I never knew you. This is what Paul is talking about today in Romans 10. If you have your Bibles, as we dive into Romans 10, Dr. David Jeremiah said, saving us is the greatest and most concrete demonstration of God's love, the definitive display of his grace throughout time and eternity. So Paul continues to teach the Jews and the Gentiles that salvation is always in Christ, that relationship with Christ and not their religion. We've seen over through the book of Romans how Paul is hitting hard at the Jews about them putting all their faith in religion and not in that relationship, not in the Messiah, not in the Christ that God has sent to them. And Paul is really heartbroken because of their lack of faith. And I wonder today, is Christ heartbroken over the church today? Because there are so many who are putting their faith in themselves and their ability to do good things rather than their faith in Jesus Christ and the grace and mercy that he's given to us. Begin reading verse 1 of chapter 10. Paul writes, brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the culmination of the law, so that it might be righteousness for everyone who believes. Moses writes this about the righteousness that comes by the law. The person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart that is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call upon him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one who they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. But not all the Israelites accepted good news. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words in the ends of the world. Again, I ask, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. And Isaiah boldly says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. But concerning Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. Let's pray together. Father God, Lord, we thank you for the reading of your word. Lord, I thank you today that you can begin to break down your word and help us understand through the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, Paul's desire to see Israel saved is like your desire today, Lord, to see those who are Gentiles, those of us who are in this world, in this society, this culture, in our community, Lord, even in the sound of my voice, to be saved. Lord, not to trust religion, not to trust their own good works. But Father, totally put their trust in you and the grace that you provide that washes away their sin. Oh Lord, help us today to understand, but not only understand, but accept and receive you as our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. So there are four truths from this passage we must learn and share with others. The first truth is this, is that religion does not make anyone righteous. Religion in itself does not make anyone righteous. Listen, you can be a very good Baptist if you choose to. You can do all the right things, but it has no saving grace in it being a person of a denomination. No saving grace at all. See, people often seek the external expressions of rituals and routines of religion as a substitute for a genuine relationship with God in Christ Jesus. So many people substitute doing the outward expressions of a denomination, outward expressions of rituals and rites and routines. They do all of these things thinking it makes them right with God, and by no means. Religion, all of our external expressions, has no saving grace in them. We see in verse 2 and 3 of Romans 10, I know what enthusiasm they have for God, but it is misdirected zeal. Paul is recognizing, he's telling the Jews, listen, I know how enthusiastic you are and all of your religion, all of the things that you do in the synagogue. I understand that, but it's misdirected. Your faith does not follow it. Listen, we can go to church and we can have all kind of external expressions. We can go to church and close our eyes and raise our hand and sway to the music all we want. Listen, if our faith is not in Jesus, if our faith is in ourselves and how good we can lift up God, understand, we'll die and go to hell. It's misdirected. Verse 3 says, for they don't understand God's way of making people right with himself. Refusing to accept God's way, they cling to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law. For Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. Paul knows the Jewish law. Paul was a Pharisee among Pharisees. He was a Jewish theologian. He knew everything about the law. He knew the culture of the Jews. He knew it all, and he knew that they were misdirected in their zeal and understanding of their enthusiasm for God. He knew the Jews were trusting their own ability to uphold all the laws, and he knew their lost condition in doing so. Paul realized that his own people, the ones that God chose to birth the Messiah, that they were lost. Breaks my heart. I wonder how many people have their name there on First Baptist Church Villeplatz roll, but really are lost. They're trusting their name being in a church roll. Pop in the church every now and then, and they're lost. They don't know Jesus. See, verse 1, chapter 10 says, "Dear brothers and sisters, the longing of my heart and my prayer to God is the people of Israel to be saved, that the people of Evangeline Parish, the people of Central Louisiana to be saved." Paul knew that his own people, the Jews, God's chosen people to birth a son, Messiah, were lost. They were lost because they trusted in their own religion and their own abilities rather than Jesus Christ in God's grace. Ultimately, the Jewish faith was in themselves rather than in God. So they really trusted themselves to keep all 613 laws. Yet God always found a remnant in people in Israel who lived by true faith in God, and they were looking forward to the Messiah. There was always this remnant, Paul identifies, that was in Israel that were not self-seeking, that were not trying to get to heaven on their own accord, on their own merits. They always had faith in God, trusting God, understanding that they did not deserve anything, but it was all God's grace. Church, today, let us be people of grace. There are many people of good reputations in the church and community, yet they're lost. Their busyness is their way of earning what they think is merits with God's favor, and they trust in their own ability rather than what Jesus Christ did on the cross for them. Rather than accepting what Jesus has done, they only trust in what they can do. Their work is not because of Christ saving them. They're trying to save themselves. It is a misconception of what faith is. They pass Jesus up and embrace the religion part rather than a relationship. And maybe sometimes we think back of the way we were raised. We think back of what we were taught. And maybe we were taught this work mentality to earn salvation. Maybe we taught where you have to go to church and you have to do this and you have to do this and you have to do that. And if you do all of these things, then listen, you might get to go to heaven if you're a good person. Have you prioritized works and rituals rather than a relationship? Have you trusted in your own abilities when God says you're not good enough? Why did Jesus say, you know, "Come to me, all you who are heavy burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest"? Who's Jesus talking to? The Jews. Why? Because the Jews were trying to keep all 613 of these laws, and they couldn't do it. They were fumbling around and stumbling around on them. And Jesus says, listen, that's not salvation. Come to me, and I'll give you rest. Where you're not trying to earn something that you never will earn. My prayer today is like Paul, that you may be saved. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, "That is by grace and faith and not of yourselves." That you truly trust grace that Jesus Christ brings to us. Say, listen, Lord, I know that I don't deserve to be saved, and I can never work there. I never could earn it. But God, thank you today for the gift of salvation. I accept that gift. Listen, the gift is free to you. It's free to me. We can never buy it. We can never earn it. It's free. Erwin Lutzer said this. He says, "When the mask of self-righteousness has been torn from us and we stand stripped of all of our accustomed defenses, we are candidates for God's generous grace. When we truly come to the end of ourselves and we realize that we can't earn something that's already been paid for, we can never earn salvation. If we could, then Jesus died for nothing. Then we're ready for God's grace. When we come to the end of ourselves, the second truth is this, that Christ accomplished salvation for whosoever will follow him." Whosoever will follow. Christ accomplished that for the world, for all those who would by faith trust him. See, Christ fulfilled the requirements of redemption to bridge the gap to the lost, between the lost to be saved from sin and its consequences. Jesus Christ bridged that gap between God and sinners, between God who is holy and righteous and us who are dirty and nasty and filthy. Jesus built that bridge and filled in that gap between us and God. See, Paul explains to the Jewish, to the Jews, that they are, that they long for through their laws and rituals and religion, that Jesus Christ is the one, that they can't do it through all the things that they were trying to accomplish. Well, the Jews had an elaborate set of rules and laws and rituals. And there are many denominations today who are very legalistic, and they try to build up themselves by all of these, you can't do this and you can't do that, and you must do this and you must do that. Listen, that's not God's plan. Jesus fulfilled completely all the law in our behalf. Paul writes this in verse 5. It says, for Moses writes that the law's way of waking or making a person right for God requires obedience to all the command. See, religion is man's structure of the do's and the don'ts. Religion is legalistic in rules and regulations and rituals. See, religion is a set of beliefs and values of behavior. Yet, there's no saving grace in religion. So what do we do? Why do we always structure ourselves and have all of these things that we can do and can't do? And man, we make all these church rules and church laws and all of this stuff. And people begin to think, if I do these things, then I'm in good standing with God. There's no way I can miss heaven. And oh, how wrong. They put so much effort and so much energy into things that are for nothing in salvation. You see, when God gave Moses those Ten Commandments, those were structure for the behavior that the people should have. Well, the Jews added 603 more to that because they figured if they got it all right, then they were in right standing with God or righteous with God. The problem is they couldn't keep all 613 of those things. You think about it, not only in action, but in thought. So even if they thought about something that was wrong, even if they pondered it but didn't do it, still pondered it, it was still sin. See, they could not keep these laws. The reality is that it was impossible. So the law just painted, pointed out how guilty of sin the Jews and all of the world truly are. The law, all it did was point to us and said, listen, this is how bad you really are. God is trying to show you this is why you need salvation. This is why you need a Messiah. Look, because of all these things that you are doing, if you could do all of these things right, then you're good. The problem is you can't. Remember the rich young ruler that came over to Jesus and he said, you know, Lord, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus knew this man's heart. He says, keep all the commands. And this young man was very prideful and he said, this I've done since I was a child. And Jesus said, well, then go give away all your money. Go sell everything you have. Give the money to the poor. Because Jesus knew he had a lot of money. And the man went away sorrowful. Sorrowful. Because he had great, great money. What was Christ trying to teach him there? He said, you thought you did it all right, but you still were very prideful. You remember pride? Pride is a spiritual sin that got Satan kicked out of heaven. See, God sent Jesus to fulfill the righteousness in us that the law failed to do. Jesus fulfilled for us what we could never do for ourselves in paying the sin debt to redeem us back to God. Jesus opened the narrow gate and the narrow way for all who will believe to go through. Jesus did not create the wide path in life where all will be saved. Jesus died for all sins, but only those who accept him, who truly put their faith in him, receive that pardon of sin, receive the gift that he did for them. But so many said, well, you know what? If I join a Christian church, then I'm okay because I'm accepting what Christ did. No, listen, joining a Christian church means you joined an organization of believers. And there are a lot of people who put their name on a church roll somewhere. You know, there are some people who have their name on several church rolls. They're trying to get full coverage. It doesn't work that way. There's a narrow gate. See, Jesus died on the cross. And what it did was created the narrow gate for all who will believe by faith, open that gate and take the narrow path. The world looks at the wide gate. They look at religion. They look at all the things that they can do and religious opportunities. And they look at all the denominations. They look at all the things. Oh, I can pick and choose and build it like I want to. You know, I can pick a few things that the Baptists do and a few things the Pentecostals do and a few things the Catholics do. And boy, here I am. And they're on the wide gate. The wide gate leads to destruction. The narrow gate leads to life. The narrow gate is open to all, yet few find it. Jesus cleared the path for your salvation. Have you accepted him today, or are you following the narrow way in Christ? John Calvin said it this way. He said, since no man is excluded from the calling of God, the gate of salvation is open to all. There's nothing else to hinder us from entering but our own unbelief. Where's your faith at today? Where's your faith at today? That's a question. Is your faith truly in Christ Jesus? Or is your faith in yourself, in your own abilities to do all the right things so that when you die, God will find favor in you and you've earned enough merits to get you to heaven? Listen, if you're trusting that, you're going to bust hell wide open. Trust Jesus. Third truth is righteousness through faith in Christ. Righteousness is found in faith in Christ. Sinners are transformed by faith in Jesus to be in right standing with God. Verse 9 through 13. Listen, I share this when I'm leading people to Christ down that Roman road. I share these verses of Scripture. How do you accept the free gift of salvation? How do you accept what Jesus Christ has done for you? Oh, this is beautiful. It says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the Scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced or put to shame. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call upon him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Paul is helping the Jews to understand, listen, that same faith, that same grace that is extended to you and has been extended to you Jews for all these centuries is also extended to the Gentiles, for all who believe, for anyone who confesses with their mouth, believes in their heart that Jesus Christ is God's Son, will be saved. See, the Jews didn't believe that Jesus was God's son. They believed he was a good teacher. Some even believed he was a prophet. But none believed that he, or very few believed that he was truly the Messiah. Paul now emphasizes how the Jews and the Gentiles are so much alike. Both can be in right standing with God. Their law and all their religious activity left them longing for hope. Listen, when you are a religious person and you're basing everything on religion, you know what you do? You want to do more because you're thinking the more that you do, well, that just merits you a little bit more to get to heaven. And there are so many people who are working themselves silly trying to get to heaven. Church in and church out. Listen, serving Christ comes because you love Christ. Serving Christ comes because you have first put your faith in him And because of your faith in him, you love him. You want the ministry, the message of Christ to go forward. That's why you serve. That's why you work. It's all about Jesus. It's never about you. Religion does nothing to put anyone right with God. We can work till we're blue in the face 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we're no more right with God if we don't have Jesus as our Savior. It is only through relationship with Christ Jesus that we're righteous, that we're righteous before God. Do you know Jesus personally today? Have you really put your faith in him, or have you just done the church thing? Have you just showed up to church? Have you just going through the motions? Have you been keeping Jesus as a religious icon rather than your Savior? Have you just been keeping a person in respect, a person that you'd like to learn principles from, a person that you'd like to have more characteristics from, but you truly don't trust him to save you? Many times I'll meet with people in my office and I'll ask them, I said, can you tell me today if you died, you would go to heaven? So many times they would tell me, well, I think I'm a good person. I didn't ask you that. But you see how our mind goes to? We begin to evaluate our goodness rather than the goodness of God, rather than the grace of God. And so many say, yes, I know I'm saved. I know I'm born again because of Jesus Christ. So the question comes to you. If you died today, are you going to heaven? And if so, why? What merits you to go to heaven? If your answer cannot be, I have faith in Jesus Christ, then you're truly trusting yourself in your own goodness. Would you please trust Jesus today? See, there's nothing more important than your eternal salvation. Nothing more important than Christ in your life. And once we have Christ in our life, here's what God really tells us to do. Fourth truth is this, that faith comes by hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. When you're saved and you're born again, your faith is in Jesus. You know what the Holy Spirit compels you to do? Tell somebody. I want to know, how many people have you told about Jesus Christ? See, there are people who have been saved in 10 and 20 and 30 years who've never shared their faith with one person. Never. Well, it's my good friend. I don't want to hurt them. They're going to hell. How good a friend are you? There are people in your life, there are family members in your life who are going to hell, and you won't open your mouth. I know that's kind of blunt. You won't say a word because you don't want to come between your relationship. You don't want to put a wedge there. Listen, faith comes by hearing. They're watching you. They know there's something different about you. They know that you're not perfect, but they do know there's something different about you. Would you share what Christ has done in your life? See, all believers share in the responsibility of engaging the lost with the message of hope and forgiveness found in Christ. Somehow we excuse ourselves away. Listen, I'm not talking about going knocking on doors like that. Listen, some people can do that, and boy, they're just bold and courageous. I'm talking about the people you work with and see every day. I'm talking about your friends. I'm talking about your family. I'm talking about people that you know, that you love, and that are dear to you. Do you want to spend eternity with them or not? You see, it's not always easy. And we can say, I'm letting my life be an example. We're called to be witnesses. If you go to a courtroom, a witness does not sit there and look pretty as an example. A witness testifies. A witness speaks. You see, a person, your lifestyle and your faith that you're living out each day, listen, that's a way of reflecting Christ to them so that they know there's something different about you. But man, can you pray for someone and begin to open those doors up that they see the need in their own life that Christ is missing? I'm not talking about taking your Bible and beating them over the head. Listen, that'll make them run. But you see, verse 14 and 15 says, how then will they call on him who they have not believed? And how will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear from without a preacher? Listen, you are a preacher. You may not have the title and you may not have your own congregation of local believers. But listen, everywhere God places you, you are that missionary. You are that preacher. It's in your home. It's in your workplace. It's in your school. Wherever you are that pastor. And people are looking to you, believer. What is it about Jesus that makes you different? Oh, God, this is an opportunity. It says, just as it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news of good things. Oh, what a blessing it is, church, to be called a missionary for God, a preacher for God, a pastor for the living God. He's called you and he placed you exactly where he wanted you at this season of your life for a particular reason, a particular purpose. And there are some lost people around you that they need to know how much God truly loves them. Are you sharing your faith with them today? Faith comes by hearing. We have a commission to be a witness for Christ in order for others to put their faith in him. You see, listen, it's not about when we are just religious people, we just think everybody's going to heaven. When we're religious people, we just think, well, you know, they go to that church where they're going, well, you know what? I don't know what their relationship like with God, and that's not my business. It's a personal thing. No. Religious people just evaluate someone else's religion. What about that relationship with Christ? You can see it in and out. There are hurting people all around us. Can you pray with them? You see, it's not always that forward, man, y'all just need to get saved. No. The Lord will come to you and work with you and through you. Man, I see you're going through a difficult time today. Can I pray with you? And just you praying opens a door for the Holy Spirit to do ministry. Hey, are you working for Christ where he's planted you? Are you working for Christ as he has worked in your life? You see, faith comes by hearing. If we want others to believe, we have to say. We have to be involved in their life. We have to open our mouths for the cause of Christ, not for the cause of ourselves. Jesus has already paved the way. We understand that it's a relationship with him and not religion. And Paul was trying to bring that home down to the Jews. Maybe there's someone that you're working with, Christian, who's doing all the religious things, but man, they've missed Jesus. And they're lost. Do you care about their soul? Would you risk even them being mad at you or upset with you or calling you names just in love to share Jesus with them? It'll make the difference in their life for all eternity. Just you as a Christian, as a believer, realizing that God has placed you there for a reason. You may not even like your job, but it's not about you and your job. It's about you being there because God has put you there. Let's pray together. Father God, today as we read your word, we hear your word, God, sometimes it's so hard to grasp how we fit into this world. And God, it's so difficult because so often we make life about our little world, about what we're doing, our family, our job, all these things. And God, we we so often push you aside to understand that because we are born again, because we have our faith in you, you have called us and compelled us and made us. Lord, you have anointed us as witnesses for you wherever you've placed us. God, I pray today that you help us walk this journey, Lord. And I pray for believers that they are filled with your Spirit. Lord, that they walk with you in strength and in power to witness to those around.